Massachusetts has announced their pick for the first industrial-sized offshore wind project, the Vineyard Wind Project, which will build an 800-megawatt wind farm off the southern coast of Martha's Vineyard. It's the first of what could be many large-scale wind farms up and down our coastline. Here to talk with us about it is Bruce Gellerman. He's a Bostonomics reporter for WBUR. Welcome back to the show, Bruce.
Hey, John.
First of all, how big is this project anyway?
Well, it is big as these things go. I mean, we've got a small little boutique wind farm off Block Island that's 30 megawatts with five towers. But this one should be about 100 towers, and it should be generating something like 800 megawatts. So a lot bigger. You can think of it like the Block Island wind was a toe in the water. This is going in waist deep.
Didn't Massachusetts try to do something like this off the coast of Cape Cod a couple of years ago, and it didn't go so well? What happened there?
It didn't go so well. Well, it was death by a thousand legal fights. It was supposed to go off the coast of Cape Cod, the southern coast there, and it was fought by both the Koch brothers and by Ted Kennedy, an unlikely pair to oppose a renewable wind farm. But that was the case, and it just died in court. They didn't have the funding. The technology at that point for these wind turbines was such that they were going to need 130 wind turbines in the water. It would have obstructed a bit of the view. There was all kinds of legal hassles and wrangling, and in the end, it just died.
Is this going to face some of the same problems, people wondering about their beautiful views off the vineyard?
No, I don't think so. I think this is well beyond that point. First of all, it's going to be 12 or a little few more miles off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. So you won't hardly see it. It'll be little dots on the horizon, if at all. So that kind of the visual problem it shouldn't be a problem. And it's gotten so far down by now, this whole request for proposals that was set in motion in 2016 by the governor has had lots of public hearings. And there are people who oppose certain aspects of it. The fishermen, for example, they have considerations that are still to be resolved. The Vineyard Winds has met with the fishermen over 100 times to address those concerns, but they do have concerns about construction and how it's going to disrupt the fishing off the coast. But no, I don't think this thing is good to go at this point. It has to go through state and federal environmental impact statements. Vineyard Winds has already gone drafting EISs, and so they're well ahead of that game. They've been very proactive.
Around the same time, Rhode Island said it's going to give the go-ahead to a 400-megawatt offshore wind project to Deepwater Wind. A similar type of project, maybe not quite as big, Bruce, right?
Well, they'll have 50 turbines about as compared to 100 for the other one. It's half the energy output. But you're right. It's a lot bigger than the Block Island wind farm. And that was a big surprise, John. We were not expecting anything like the Rhode Island announcement because, you know, they were supposed to select one or two for the Massachusetts energy needs. And there's a provision in the state request for proposal, which most people overlooked, which said that if other states wanted a piece of the action, they could have it. And Rhode Island saw the clause and they got a piece of the action.
You mentioned the towns that are being fitted up to take in this power, including some communities where other power plants are closing or will be closing down. The mayor of New Bedford, Massachusetts, told the New York Times, quote, "We know in light of Northern Europe's experience with offshore wind that many U.S. ports will benefit from the arrival of the industry here." So talk about that, Bruce. What's it going to mean to the communities near these wind farms that are going to have a little bit of an economic boost?
Well, you're right there, John, because these are things supposed to generate not just wind, but generate a lot of jobs and build a homegrown infrastructure for expanding the offshore wind industry along the coast. So this is about jockeying for jobs. In New Bedford, they have a marine terminal that the state put $113 million in to build. They'll be using that. So will the Deepwater project. So Vineyard Wind and Deepwater will be using that as a staging area to send things out, the blades and the turbines and the generators and the foundations, and send those out to sea. And yes, they really do want to build an industry. We it's a little squirrely, John, about kind of jobs. There'll be hundreds and perhaps thousands of jobs. Calculating those is a little bit difficult because they measure those in job years. So you've got to figure that out and who gets the jobs and how they get the jobs and how much they pay, but they want to develop a workforce. And I think this is one of the keys because, for example, the building these things is a significant expertise, and maintaining them certainly is. Wind turbine technicians is the most in-demand job in the United States, according to the federal government statistics. So they want to hook up with Bristol Community College and some other educational institutions to build a workforce that will allow them to build an industry that will service all of the coast.
And why this area, Bruce? I mean, there's so much shoreline up and down the coast, just on the Atlantic side of America. Why this little area in and around Rhode Island and the south shore of Massachusetts that's getting all of this attention?
Well, the wind blows very strong and very sure. And that's the thing, you know, is that you've got this incredible resource. It's called the Saudi Arabia of wind. And we're going to mine it. That's why. It's simple as that. It's very strong and steady off the coast, off Martha's Vineyard. There's hundreds and hundreds of square miles that their federal government is leasing off to prospective developers. So they're very ambitious plans to take advantage of this very ample resource.
And is this just the tip of the iceberg, Bruce? You see a project like this get greenlighted, and then there's the possibility of more offshore wind farms going up throughout Massachusetts and the other states that you mentioned. We'll see a boom, you believe, in the next couple of years?
Yes. The Federal Bureau of Ocean Energy Management is starting to lease off other areas. They hold auctions. These companies bid competitively. And so they're starting to see other plots being auctioned off. And there's going to be a sea change in the air in terms of wind power and in terms of the way we generate and get our electricity.
So it all sounds very exciting. And not to throw cold water on this, Bruce, but, you know, we've been hearing about a lot of these projects that Massachusetts has been trying to bring in, including, say, the Northern Pass transmission line that was going to come down from Hydro-Quebec in Canada, and it was going to go through New Hampshire. And it got greenlit by the Baker administration in Massachusetts. But then the folks in New Hampshire said, not so fast, we don't want that project, and it's moved on. I guess I'm wondering if there's the possibility of any political impediments getting in the way of a project like this that, as you say, is so far down the road.
I don't see it, John. I think those other plans hadn't done their homework. And this one, the homework is done. The parents have signed off on it, and it's gone to the teachers. You know, this is a big deal, John, because in terms of pollution and climate change and emissions, this takes something like 325,000 cars, the equivalent of the emissions from 325,000 cars off the road, 1.6 million tons of CO2 a year. It's enormous.
Bruce Gellerman covers energy and lots of other issues for Bostonomics at WBUR. Bruce, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, John.